This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera. It is February 11th, 2014. So, yeah, we've got John DiNardo joining us tonight. We're going to talk about much of these weather phenomena that have been happening, not just in this country, but around the world, and what it means. Of course, John DiNardo will likely, I guess, pin most of this to an object many of you classify as Nibiru or Planet X. And I'm going to hear him out tonight anyway. So he's been a guest on this show several times. He is one of the more serious researchers on this subject, just as Marshall Masters is. And that's why I give him the time and I listen. And, you know, I'm not totally sold on it, but I certainly don't discount it either. So we will be talking with him tonight. We'll take calls too a little later on. Over the past 8 years, he's been studying the evidence which warns of the approach of the massive celestial body officially named by the astronomical community Planet X. In 2002, the clear ring of truth struck him after merely reading the bylines of Mark Hazelwood's book, Blindsided. Since then, he has avidly studied the ancient historical evidence and modern scientific evidence about the cometary orbital intrusions of this giant planet in our solar system. He's got quite the credentials, and he'll share those with you when I bring him on here in just a moment. But he is, as I said in the beginning of the show, one of the more serious researchers of Nibiru, Planet X, call it what you will. And he's going to join us here in just a second. The website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com.
Hello, Michael. I am pleased to be with you and your audience.
Well, I'm pleased to have you back. And, you know, I have certain guests who I try to get back as often as I can because, you know, I know you take your research serious, and therefore I take it serious, and I thank you. And so we've got these crazy weather patterns going on right now. I don't know where you would actually like to start.
Well, weather is a good place to start. I mean, that's some down-to-earth, pardon the pun, evidence of that something is definitely wrong with planet Earth. We see it in all sorts of weather phenomena, weather disasters, extreme cases of snow, heavy snow, record-breaking snow, in fact, and record-breaking cold, particularly in the South, which has never in our memorable history experienced such cold weather. The South has been devastated because they never have such cold, icy, snowy weather, and the roads, the proof is that they don't have the salt trucks, they don't have the equipment to deal with this as the northern states do, and that's why the South has been particularly devastated. So there's evidence right there of historic, epic snow, cold, ice, etc., that has never occurred before. It's happening closer and closer to the equator. So Earth is in trouble. We look at floods. We've seen entire nations. I know it's easy to forget some of these disasters because they're not really highly publicized in the mass media. But if you look back, you'll recall that the entire nation of Pakistan was flooded out a few years ago. Virtually the entire nation was flooded out. And the entire nation of Australia, the continent, much of that was flooded out just a few years ago. We had floods all over the United States, and I know that people who live in those regions will never forget them. The epic floods in Texas, when Texas was basically floating away, Washington State, Louis Louisville, Kentucky got flooded out very badly several times. Nashville, Grand Ole Opry was damaged heavily. Floods in every parts of the every portion of the United States, really.
Oh, yeah.
Storms, hurricanes that are huge, massive, large area hurricanes like Irene and Sandy. Typically, hurricanes cover a small area.
Look at the Philippines. Look at the Philippines. What was that, 233-mile-an-hour winds?
Yeah, I mean, over 200 miles an hour? I mean, that has never been recorded before. So the weather itself is proving that something is wrong with planet Earth, because this has never happened before. Yeah. We could go on and on. We could talk about, as you say, the winds, the drought, record droughts. I mean, I remember it. I followed the Weather Channel quite a bit. Homes were so dry that the ground was cracking and the foundations of the houses were being destroyed because the ground was getting so dry, cracking and separating.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And here we've got, we're about to get hit with an ice storm here in Columbia, South Carolina. So, you know, they're putting warnings out about power outages. And so preparing for that.
Right. And this is one reason. We're seeing the reality of it hit home. We're feeling the pain of it. People in the South are going to have to deal with power outages. People up in where I live in New Jersey may very well have power outages due to the ice buildup on the trees and on the power lines. And then the winds, too. So when you have ice buildup and you have winds, that's when power lines come down. And it could be for a long period of time. In fact, the Weather Channel is warning that these power outages may last a long time. So when you feel the pain of it, it's not so easy to dismiss the threat and or the reality that Earth is in trouble. It's quite easy to dismiss it when everything is going fine. But when you see the reality of the pain that's hitting us from all these weather disasters, then you begin to realize that, hey, it's time to wake up, time to get in motion, and time to prepare. That's my whole purpose, is trying to get people to prepare. I mean, why would I want to scare people just for the sake of scaring them? People watch horror movies for that reason, to be scared because they enjoy it. But that's not my purpose. That's not our purpose. We want to warn people. We care about people. We care about people protecting their lives and saving their lives. And that's why now they're beginning to realize that, yes, they have to get backup generators. They have to get solar panels. They have to start buying food, canned food. I mean, I've been stocking up, fortunately, before Fukushima's nuclear disaster in Japan. I had stocked up on sardines and salmon. And so that's non-radioactive sardines and salmon. And the dates are still good.
Yeah.
Still, you know, within the period of freshness, where they're not expiring yet. So I was lucky. Same thing with, you can get cans of Vienna sausages, and I have a bunch of those in the basement too, and cans of white meat chicken. Well, that's the kind of the protein that people will need when things start going. And mainly it's power. When the power goes, that's when the stores get cleaned out. And well, everything, our fragile infrastructure, our web-like infrastructure of computers and delivery systems, just-in-time delivery systems, becomes disabled, actually. And nothing can be delivered to the stores. I mean, I was just watching the Weather Channel today. They showed a photograph of these huge supermarket, long supermarket shelves cleaned out just from this one winter storm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, oh, that's what happens here, is as soon as there's any mention of a snow flurry going to be in the air, and good luck finding bread or milk on any shelf.
Right, so that's why now When there's no disaster, you've got to start buying dried. What I buy is amaranth. Amaranth is a wonderful grain from Peru, ancient grain from Peru, and that happens to be complete protein. You can get bags of dried amaranth. It's sort of like small beads. And not only amaranth, but there's dried millet and dried barley, dried lentils, dried split peas, very low cost. And those can be soaked for a period of time, and they get softened up without heat, partially softened anyway. So you can save fuel by soaking these grains and legumes in water for, you know, 12 or 15 hours. That's the kind of thing we have to start planning for, plus sprouting seeds. I sprout seeds in a big jar. It's very easy to do. And the seed sprouts contain all the enzymes that the body needs to break down the foods and to digest them. Our bodies are depleted of enzymes because of our modern day fast food that we're eating. So that's why we cannot, our bodies cannot assimilate the carbohydrates and proteins and fats that we need to in order to keep the body strong and active. So are all the things we have to start doing.
Yeah, there's so many chemicals that are added to the food. It's ridiculous. I was just talking about this last night with Autumn. And I was telling her, I was like, you know, if you're going to a regular grocery store, practically everything you're getting has got chemicals, preservatives, and all this, you know, processed crap. And, you know, and then we wonder why there's such an epidemic with cancers and different diseases. It's all this poison that's being put in the food. So I would suggest people to, you know, get as pure as they can of whatever they're going to store, for sure. I mean, naturally, if you're starving, you're not going to complain that if you have a can of Chef Boyardee, but
right. So. But you're right. You go for the basic foods that I've been mentioning, you know, because they have not been tampered with. Grains, dried legumes, and well, you know, Vienna sausages. I mean, I'm not. It doesn't come from the best, you know, meat sources, and canned chicken may not be from the best farm chicken.
Better
farms,
than nothing.
At least it's protein that'll keep you going. But you also supplement that with good vegetable protein, also that is pure because it's the basic grains and legumes that haven't been damaged by man's processing.
Wouldn't be a bad idea for people to store seeds as well while they're still natural before Monsanto has all his, you know, everything flipped over. Wouldn't be.
That's right. You can go to the internet and look for heirloom seeds. Look for that word heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M seeds. Those are non-GMO, and I keep them in a refrigerator, not in a freezer. I would not freeze seeds, but keeping them sealed real well in a refrigerator is a good thing to do. So there are many things. Of course, even more important than food would be water. Mm-hmm. You cannot survive very long without water. And again, I have stored many empty bottles over the years, plastic bottles. I don't like plastic, but it's the only thing you can get, basically, and that's what you can survive on. And you can even filter the bottle water that's been sitting in plastic bottles like for 5, 6, 7 years that I've had, sitting in these plastic bottles stacked up. You can pour them through a gravity filter, such as a Berkey ceramic filter, and then pour through a carbon, these countertop carbon filters. So, and even if you drink it out of the bottle, I mean, it's not the best, but it'll keep you alive. So water is extremely important. Say, I would go to the recycling places and start getting bottles from them, because it would take you too long to collect bottles. There may be a disaster looming very soon, so you want to go to a recycling center and see if they'll give you a whole fill up your car and your trunk with empty plastic bottles. You know.
See, and I'll save like the old milk gallons. I don't drink milk myself, but others in the home do. So, you know, I'll save those. I'll wash them out, save them, and put water in them.
That's right. It's a smart thing to do. Well, anyway, so there's a lot to talk about regarding survival. People who live in areas that many people are living in areas that will be flooded out. So think of what you can do. Get a rubber raft. Look on the internet. Look for very inexpensive flotation devices. You know, and also emergency. What do they call these? Life vests and life jackets.
Yeah.
You could even have it in your car. See, if many cars get flooded out because they get caught in, and it's impossible to, even if you're safety minded, it's sometimes it's impossible to avoid flash floods. Your car gets instantly stuck in the middle of a flash flood.
I have never been in one yet, but I'm in a good place for that to happen. And it's not happened yet, thank God, but.
Yeah, you know, do some reading on the internet, find out what you could do. I know some people carry life vests in their cars, and
that's a great idea. That's a great idea, actually, John. And I've never even thought about that, keeping a life vest in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
They're rather compact, I think, and you just pull a cord, and a little it fills up with CO2 or air. Could be a lifesaver.
Yeah, absolutely can. Now, when we talk about the weather and how it's gone crazy, I mean, there's no question in the world that fashions haven't been tampering with geoengineering. And we know that certainly is a big part of it. But how much, in your opinion or in your research, has that factored in to the craziness we're seeing on this planet, and how much of it is off planet?
I've been faced with that question over the past several years as to who's causing or what's causing all this crazy severe weather. Is it man or is it God? And I've come to the conclusion, if you spiritually speaking, when you pray and you study God's or pray God's scriptures, not just study, because man cannot understand the symbolic mysteries of the Bible. But when you study, you realize that Satan is a real being, and the New World Order absolutely believes that Satan is their God. I mean, this is what they've stated in their books, that the Freemasons, the Illuminati, all the people who rule the world, that they get their power from Satan, who is the temporary ruler of this world. So if they believe that he exists, and the Bible tells us and Jesus tells us that he does indeed exist, then you can realize that there's a battle going on between God and between Satan. And the men who manage and control the HAARP experiments, HAARP instrumentation and weaponry, scalar devices, all those kind of high technology weapons and equipment, those men are tempting, I believe, tend to trigger some of these natural disasters that are already to occur. And the way I analogize it is, I often say that these disasters, well, Planet X is like Batman, and man's HAARP disasters are like Robin.